Hello, everyone, and welcome to Moving to Orlando. I guess we don't say experts in helping you move, but we are experts in helping you move to Orlando and live your Disney dream, but we may just do that for home tours. I don't know. I'm newer to hosting. So today we are going to be talking about HOAs, the pros, the cons, what kind of costs you're looking at, like everything we can know about it. That's what we'll talk about. But I am joined by my good friends, realtor Danielle George.
Hello, everyone.
Ruben Colon.
Hi there.
Also realtor. And our producer in the back, Mr. Craig Williams.
Ahoy.
So, as I said, we are going to talk about HOAs. It is a hot button issue for a lot of people. I did not grow up – before we even start, like, did anyone here grow up with an HOA?
Yeah, I did. A few different ones, some strict, some not so strict. I've lived in non-HOA communities before, too. So I've kind of had a gist of, like, all of it here in Central Florida. You really see the difference in it. And I won't get too much into it now because I know we're about to start talking about, you know, the pros and cons. But basically, you just see a lot of difference. There's a lot of different fees, a lot of different, you know, features, a lot of different things to take into consideration before you decide if you want to be in an HOA community or not. I personally just prefer to be in an HOA community from my experiences of the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it definitely there's a lot of pros to it, but it's just I moved from everywhere, really. I moved to Tennessee, North Carolina, California, but all those places, we never had an HOA in any of them. And then Danielle moved from Wisconsin. I don't think you had an HOA.
We actually do because we live in a village. Mm-hmm. I asked my parents about it because I was like, what? Why? How can you have an RV sitting in your driveway? And they're like, oh, I mean, the HOA is fine with it. And because we live in the village of Pleasant Prairie, and so it's outside of like the major city, they had their own rules with fences, things like that, but apparently RVs were okay in the driveway.
Huh. And then Craig, you were around Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, no, childhood home did not have that, but we had a condo for a little while that included one, and then when my parents moved to Ohio, they did, but I wasn't really aware of it because it's like, I'm getting free rent. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. I never had one either. So like even moving here, I know my mom was like, you need to be really careful about where you buy because if the HOA is strict, and my dad especially, he was like, they're going to be on you and you don't want them because my dad like gardened and planted trees and all these kinds of things. And he's like, I don't want anybody telling me what I do with my land. This is my house and I bought it. And so we do get a lot of people who are like, my number one priority is no HOA. Or they'll say some HOA if it's cheap, but they can't be strict. And I'm like, it's going to be really hard to filter because I don't know what you mean by strict. So, like, what do you want to do? Personally, if I get people – I used to do this, not so much anymore, but I used to get people who were like, I don't want an HOA, and I would make sure to take them to this one community called Linsfield. It is off 192. It's perfectly fine as a neighborhood, but they don't have an HOA, and – it shows. So that's kind of the best thing. If you ever wanted to drive around and somebody's got like a cow statue in their front yard, you want to see a lot of political banners, you want to see a lot of, you know, that's kind of what you get. And honestly, when you move to an area that is so HOA heavy and you're in that cluster that specifically is like, I don't want an HOA, there's usually a reason like that they don't want, they have a plan. So like, and you will find things that you might not want to find, but you don't have to pay it. So on the pro side of having an HOA, like what – we'll start with Ruben.
Yeah. So right out the gate, the first thing I immediately think of, you kind of already talked about this, but when it comes to an HOA, you actually have a clean and maintained community in most cases. Whenever you have an HOA, they are taking those fees so they can go ahead and take care of the lawn maintenance. They can make sure that the homes – people aren't painting their houses pink. They can make sure that people aren't leaving a car out in their driveway that is missing four tires and, you know, and those tires are thrown into the yard. Mm-hmm. So it's having an HOA kind of allows you to restrict people from kind of tearing down the community in a way to kind of bringing it down. It allows it to feel like an actual nice, good looking neighborhood. And without the HOA, you kind of run into that situation where you might not have a clean and maintained community at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have y'all been driven through Loffman yet? That's the area for like on 17. It's like on old the old Ronald Reagan Highway that kind of goes way down through the south part. It connects like Haines City through the back, where you're going through the woods and there's a lot of trailers and there's a lot of houses in there. They don't have
houses.
There are some houses. Yeah, there's some houses, but they don't. There's no HOAs there. So that's a good area if you want to check out like non HOA areas. Yeah. Like Loftman's kind of that might be a good start. For people who want to see what that's about. So on the con side, are there anything major, Danielle, that you?
Yeah, one of at least my biggest cons I'm dealing with right now, with a situation with a buyer is next door the home was foreclosed. And in the backyard, I mean, there's a pool that's sunken in. There is all the furniture. Everything from inside the house is just sitting in the backyard. So it's technically not in the front, but the HOA, I think it's like $10 a month. Mm-hmm. So as my buyers, I mean, they're a little concerned when they're seeing that because, I mean, is that always going to be there? But the HOA doesn't have too much pull on anything because it's only $10 a month. I don't even know what $10 would get you for an HOA. So, I mean, it's just concerning when you're, you know, driving up and you're like, wait, why is there a bunch of garbage there? What's going on?
Yeah.
And, you know, when is that going to be done? Well, we don't know. That's the HOA doesn't care. So, you know, if the house is foreclosed, it wouldn't really matter.
If you are driving around and you do decide, hey, we want to know what has an HOA, what doesn't, if you're not finding that info either through us or realtor.com or whatever, then usually if there's chain link fences at all, there's no HOA. Yeah. So that's usually the first thing the HOA is like, you cannot have a chain link fence. So,
and if it's during the holiday season, you will see Christmas lights on the outside of the neighborhoods because that's, you know, that's part of the HOA is that they are putting up those decorations and making it look nice. So it's just that during that specific time of season, but that's always like a nice one to know. But you know, sometimes it's just over anxious people who get in the holiday spirit.
Yeah. And actually, now that I'm saying it, I did actually just close on a no HOA community called in Indian Ridge Villas, which is actually just going to be right south of Margaritaville, just to the north of like Encore and Reunion area. And that one, it is well maintained in general. It does tend to be more residential, but you can short term rent there as well. There's no HOA, but it does have a community pool and it does have a playground, and it's paid through the taxes. So the city maintains that. I have never seen that anywhere else. So we were very confused as to how there were community features, but no bill for like who's paying for this. So it is the people there, but it's in their taxes and not an actual HOA. So there's not an authority with those little things, but there are some like benefits in the community at least that you get. My previous community I lived in, and I have two houses right now, so I'm comparing the two. My old community, my HOA was $4 per month. And then my new community, it's 100 and like 150, 160, somewhere in there. So $4. So for the $4, I just cut them a check at the beginning of the year for the like $52 and just we called it a year. So that was pretty easy to maintain. And it does go back to that, like not having a ton of authority. So you can't have chain link fences, but you can have wood fences. You can have whatever other kind. And somehow $4 a month from everybody maintain. We have a community pool. We had a playground. We had tennis courts. They cut the common area grass. They maintain the flowers and stuff on the front of the sign. And I'm like, how do they afford that? Like I don't know how they're keeping up.
Yeah. And I always wondered, especially because people would park on the grass all the time in that community. And they would send out like, you have to stop doing that. And I'm like, who's
sending it? Like I never knew who was sending it.
You know,
it, so.
I was just like, I thought that was super weird. Now it's it's $4. That's insane.
It's $4. So people did park on the grass, like not like on the, like you drive up on the curb and like you park up there on that grass as a, it's just to have somewhere to park. Technically in the HOA rules, like parking on the street parking is not allowed in that community at all. And I mean, Danielle was just shocked because like Danielle and Ruben have been to my house many, many times and they park park on the street. Like, that's where everyone parks. And the HOA keeps that rule in place. It is not enforced at all, but it's there because we had an incident once where so many people were parked on the street, the garbage trucks couldn't get down the road. They couldn't, like, weave their way in and out. And so they did have to put a policy in there for, like, we technically it's not allowed. And if it gets to a situation like that, then the HOA can step in and kind of usurp their authority over the people in the community, but it's not heavily regulated. I did once find the HOA leader on the Nextdoor app, which is generally a pretty good app to download to get neighborhood information. And it is also a place for people to air their grievances, I suppose, because it is not a positive place. But if you want general info, Nextdoor kind of works. So I did run into her there at that point, and it did end with me threatening to run against her in the next election. So I was like, if you want to go, like, we'll go. At that time, I wasn't working. So I was like, we'll fight it out. I got nothing but time. And there's a lot of people with grievances in this group against you. So, but yeah, so my new community, it's 150, 160 per month. And while it is in Windermere, it's a beautiful community. There is no community pool. There is no park. There is no tennis courts. There's no gate. There's none of the features that my last community didn't have a gate, but this one doesn't either. So really the only thing we get is they cut the front of our grass. And I mean, I don't know that it's really worth 150, 160 a month. I think at that point I got to do the back anyway. So I kind of can get the front covered. It's not a lot of grass space. So we do tell people a lot of times it's what is your HOA paying for? What is it covering? So I actually felt like I got more for my $4 at the old community, and I didn't care. It was kind of the Wild West for the most part, unless you just did something heinous, then they would step in. But my new community is definitely more strict while giving less features.
Yeah, and I think one of the pros of having the HOA is maintaining property value throughout you know, the lifespan of you living there or anyone else. They, you know, the owners are responsible for the deed restricted houses and in that community. So you want to make sure your house looks nice and things like that. So I think having an HOA it would help maintain property value throughout time.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. You know, there's a lot of things, a lot of pros, a lot of cons to HOA before we jump into the fees and what you get with the fees. But just, you know, like a quick recap of like some of the pros, you know, there's Sean mentioned it. There's amenities that they offer. Some of them could be gated because it's an HOA community. You won't get that with a non-HOA community in most cases. My favorite thing about having an HOA versus not having an HOA is the fact that you don't have chickens in your next door neighbor's yard, you know, waking you up at like 6 a.m. every morning and just making loud noises. HOAs usually restrict the type of pets you can have. And one of the biggest things they say on there is no farm animals. So that's one of the biggest things. They do, going back to the con of that same topic, though, they do restrict sometimes the breeds or the size of the dogs you have, and sometimes even the number of pets you can have.
Yeah, so. Number is the most often I see is like two. And that's, I mean, you have three. So, yeah. I mean, that's for you, that would be tough.
I've had to keep at two specifically. Yeah. I don't even foster because I'm like, I can't risk having more than two. Yeah. So.
Right, and it's a sad thing. And I'm okay with it because I don't want to, you know, like, and Lexi will disagree with me. My fiance will disagree with me because she would love to open her own shelter from our house for dogs, but I would prefer, you know, 20 dogs barking next door not to be there, you know. Yeah. I'm okay with, you know, a couple dogs, fine, you know, but once you get past that four, I think that's a little too much. So
yeah, it gets to be a lot, and there's some hoops you have to jump through sometimes, like even for my home, like there's a whole issue right now with homes getting insured with roofs that are older than like 10, 12 years. 15 is kind of where we're maxing out right now, which is crazy, but like insurance goes through waves and they'll dip back down again. It's not a big deal. Or they'll increase it back up at some point. But right now I happen to fall in this bubble and my roof is 15 years old, and it was a real struggle to find someone who would insure it. And it is missing two shingles. That's it. Like literally they sent me the report. It's two shingles that's missing. So I either need to to pay more for insurance because it's an old roof and get those two shingles put on, or I can get a new roof and do that. But I don't want to get a new roof because it's like $25,000 for a roof that's perfectly fine. Like, and then it starts my clock again. So I'm like, that sucks. But as I'm looking into it, the HOA has to like approve the roof that I get. And I'm like, but my insurance company is only giving me 30 days to get this settled, but the HOA can't get back to me within that time. And so I'm like, what do you want me to do? So that's kind of the biggest hurdle there.
Yeah. It's a big con is that, you know, the HOA is always happy to reach out and send you messages when there's infractions or mm-hmm. events, things like that. But sometimes, even though you have their direct emails, phone numbers, when you go back to them for like questions and mm-hmm. asking for guidance, it will just be radio silence. And if you're in a community where they threaten to sue you for breaking infractions, then it's very, very scary because you're like, I'm going to get sued and no one's answering me on the other side of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's been my biggest struggle recently with closing on homes is condo communities, trying to get HOA riders from them have been just the hardest thing. And it has nothing to do with the sellers, the buyers. It's literally just the HOA trying to get something from them that is taking days and having to extend closings because of that.
And we get people all the time that come to us and they're like, we want to know the HOA information before we buy. We need to get this info. And we try. We really, really do. Like I can't even tell you how many HOAs I've contacted to try to get stuff. You don't own there and they just don't care. Like they don't even – a lot of times they don't even get back to the people that actually live there. But like if every potential person that wanted to buy any home that came for sale in the community wanted the info every time – that's all they would be doing is like giving out this information. Now, personally, I wish that they would just put it on a website. Like, you know, what is so bad that they like need to keep it so hidden as a thing? And I do wish there was like a communal website where everybody just posted their HOA information, and that would be really great that there was there. But unfortunately, it doesn't exist yet. And whoever does, they can definitely do that with a paywall, and I think they would make some killer money at it. But I don't know about the legality of doing that. But we try really hard to get that information, but it's impossible. Like to get, even after you move in, it's hard to get. But leading up to it, and usually most of the time, you're better off just saying, "I have a specific thing. Like I have a parrot. Like just tell me you have a bird. Like that's the easiest thing, and then we can find out if the bird is okay." And it's weird, a lot of people have birds. I didn't realize so many people had birds until I started doing this. So birds come up as a question a lot. I know Ruben, you had a dog weight issue recently that like the dog was 60 pounds and 40 pounds was the limit, but he got clearance from the HOA that like they'll allow 60 pounds. It's just there. I don't know for what, like maybe to get rid of like 150 pound dogs or something. I'm not really sure what the deal of why they do it is.
I have no idea why they do it either. I don't understand it, but I understand like the fear of like, you know, sometimes with the breed restrictions, but some of the breeds they restrict, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. But it's just more so they do what they feel like that they think is going to help make more people happy. I think they're concerned, like when it comes to the size restrictions, I think one of the biggest things I think they do that for is because they think if someone's walking around with a bigger dog, you 100-pound dog, you know, they might be a little bit scared if that dog comes running towards them. Yeah. So I think it just might be just something to kind of ease the minds of all the other homeowners who may not be dog people, you know, and shame on them, you know, I guess, so I know we mentioned earlier talking about a couple of different, you know, fees that are associated with HOAs. So if you do end up going to an HOA community, some of the fees that, you know, what it goes to, what it includes, obviously the lower you pay in HOA, it doesn't include as much. So, you know, in terms of amenities, there might not be as many amenities. It might not include as much towards the fees themselves. But some HOAs will include stuff like, you know, cable internet, water can be included in some HOA communities. Specifically, that usually happens with condos and townhomes. You know, there's can include, you know, might have a fitness center or a pool, or it could be gated or a man gate where they have to pay that you know, that person to stand there and let people through the gate. So that's just a couple things that the, you know, the HOA fees will include.
So. Yeah. One thing I did want to bring up is I didn't know a lot of, well, not a lot, but some of the HOAs require a capital contribution when you purchase.
Yeah.
That was something that was new to me. And so a capital contribution, when you do purchase a home, you basically have to buy in to the HOA. Mm-hmm. So it comes in your closing disclosure. So it was a surprise fee that I didn't know of. And I was like, oh, well, now I know for the future. But yeah, it was a surprising thing that I saw some HOAs.
It's a majority of HOAs, even the ones that are, it'll be less, but a majority of the community. So yeah, majority of the communities are going to have an HOAs or are going to have the capital contribution fee. It's going to be wrapped up in your closing costs, though. So when we give you like estimates for, you know, when we tell you, hey, 3% of the sales price is how much to expect in closing costs, usually, unless the HOA has an extremely high, you know, capital contribution fee, that's kind of taking that into consideration. But it is something that you pay during your closing costs, and your lender, usually when they give you your estimates, they're trying to get the estimates from the HOA before they give you your estimate for what your closing costs are going to be. Mm-hmm. So they try to kind of take that into consideration when they give you that estimate.
I think with mine, the seller actually included it in to entice us to be able to actually go through with it. So I do remember that. And yeah, it was like, oh, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
Back in the day when sellers did stuff like that to entice, entice buyers.
I missed those.
yeah, I know. I missed that. Like we were still in the not such a crazy bubble when I first started, and we were able to get like buyers closing costs covered and those kind of things. Like those days, they're not gone forever, but they're gone for now. So it all comes in waves, and it's not happening right now. But I've been trying to look up this one house. I did sell the home, but the neighborhood, I was trying to look up the name. So it's Millennia Park is the community. Very pretty community. It's right by Universal. So if you kind of go off exit 75 and you go by Universal, it's going to be right really, really close to there. And it's a gated community right behind an elementary school. And that community, when I got there, I went to go show the house, and I always let my clients park in the driveway and then I park on the street. And so in case it's raining or whatever, they have less of a walk to get back. I parked on the street for like, we were there 15, 20 minutes maybe. They decided they loved the house. They were great with it. I walked out, and they had stuck, the HOA had stuck this giant sticker on my windshield and like across it that was like, do not park on the side, like don't park on the side, it's against the rules, a huge sticker. And I had to chip at the glue that they used to peel it off my windshield to get rid of it. And we had been in the house possibly 15, 20 minutes. So I told the buyers, I was like, you sure? Like, look at this. Look at the, they just stuck this on my thing. And they're like, nope, we love it. We still want to move here. So I'm like, great. So then they moved, and they had their U-Haul truck, and obviously it's a U-Haul. They're clearly moving in. So they parked it. And then because they were, because it was hanging out in the road a little bit, sticker right on their windshield, and like with it, like it was hanging out there, and they had to actually get like a razor blade to clip the chip that stuff away to get it off. And they're like, we're gonna get charged by U-Haul. They were calling me, and I was like, remember, like when I like this happened then. I said, it's insane. I've never seen an HOA do that. And they have a tow truck that all it does is drive around within the community looking to tow cars away. And there's just some company that this HOA is like, I don't know if they're partnered with them or what, but like, if you want a really strict HOA to make sure everybody stays in line, like Millennia, we can take you to Millennia Park. Like that's what happened there. And they'll stick stickers on your windows. Oh, and it was crazy. I've never, ever seen something like that happen. And I had to make sure I got the name right, 'cause I was like, I don't want to just call out the wrong HOA community on it. I'm sure people would be livid. Yeah. I can't imagine. They were like, we love it. We still want to buy. We like that the HOA is strict. So
mine's not that strict, but like to sell mine overall, between my townhouse one, which is about $200, and my community one, it's $90. With my townhouse one, I get cable and like 300 down speed internet, which between cable and that alone, like that would normally run you about $120 a month through Spectrum. But we get HBO Max included in that too. So that's another $15 a month. So right there with my $200, I am up to like almost $150 just in those benefits, which if you cut the cord, then might not be important to you, but you chances are you're going to still have internet too. Yeah. So erase the cable and the cable boxes you get with it. But then lawn care, I don't have to do anything. I can go out and trim bushes and stuff if I want to, but that's all taken care of. The dog park that we have in our community is included, two gyms, two different pool areas. And plus, we have food trucks that come into the neighborhood organized by the community twice a month.
Oh, nice.
And then a party for every single freaking holiday that happens throughout the year, even Arbor Day. They're like, why not?
Because, growing more trees.
Exactly. And, no, they find a reason. The HOA finds a reason to throw parties and make it like feel like it. So ultimately, when I really break mine down over the year, like I think if I cared about every single amenity that I get, I am actually like stealing from the HOA overall when it's all said and done. And for the people who go to the pool every day and eat it all up, they're getting a good deal out of it.
Yeah, they actually in Eagle Creek in Lake Nona, we've done a few shows on it, but they do like they do different things for different holidays, but they have gotten characters as well to, I don't know if they're like official characters, so they have had some of that.
Get them in trouble.
Yeah, they've had some of that kind of thing going on, but also even in like Golden Oak, which is Disney's community, they have something for everything. So if you do, you can buy resale in there, you can't buy anything new, but they have a very high HOA. So I think they're around 30,000 a year, I believe, for the HOA. It's somewhere in that boat. I can't remember. I know it includes, it's like HOA plus something else. When I was figuring my numbers up, but they will. I mean, it's, you know, whatever high tea with Cinderella over here, and it's Arbor Day, so we're gonna celebrate with like Isabella and all this kind of stuff, like, and do all this kind of thing. So, I mean, they definitely do a lot of that kind of stuff. So you can be anywhere you want to be on that spectrum. But if you are looking for no HOA, or if you're looking for an HOA, or you just need a place to live because you're getting desperate at this point and just need a house, like, we'll be able to help you either way. By contacting us at movingtoorlando.com and using our contact form, you can do admin, ADMIN, at movingtoorlando.com, or our phone number,
855-650-MOVE. That's 855-650-6683.
And that'll do it for us here at Moving to Orlando. If you want to use the link in the description below, you can join our Moving to Orlando community Facebook group. It's a really awesome group with some really cool people. I assume everyone in there is cool. But they're really great. It's a great resource to figure out things about Orlando, from dining to moving your driver's license over, from your current state. Any sort of questions you have, that's a really good resource to use. And we're in there too. So we'll pop in and try to answer some questions if we can, time willing. But yeah, so until next time.